Man. Chapter 33. I stared at the man's face. It was hard to tell how old he was. There were bits of debris left on his skin from the glue he'd used to apply the scales. My rage leveled down into anger, which I was grateful for. I'd never wanted to kill anything before in my life, and it hadn't been a good feeling, to say the least. Sophie put her face in his and yelled, "Who are you?" I put my hand on her shoulder. "I think I know who he is." The girls looked at me, shocked.
"Who?"
Delaney asked. "It's the young boy that is in the picture with Captain Hammonlock," I told them. "Look above his eye. He has a scar on his eyebrow, just like the boy did." "I thought the man in the hospital was the kid," Freya replied, much more calmly than I would have expected for what she'd just been through. "I did too, until I just saw that scar and remembered noticing it in the picture," I said. "I wrote it off as a newspaper ink mark, you know, when the printer skips or something, because the man at the hospital had such similar features. I'm certain this is the kid now, though."
"I don't care if he's the kid or not. What I want to know is what on earth could make anyone do that to themselves, or to other people?"
Sophie huffed. Veda shook her head slowly.
"I don't know, but it would take a severe mental breakdown, I imagine. We already know something happened to all these people that messed with their brains. Maybe this guy just got the worst of it."
"Or," I replied, "maybe this guy caused the trauma in the other victims and got lost in his own mind games, if that's even possible. Candela said they still don't know how all the passengers' brains got fucked up the way they are." I was wishing Candela would hurry up and figure it out when I had an idea. "Hey, Sophie, how quickly do you think you can get Sage back here? Isn't her dad a renowned psychiatrist? Maybe she could convince him to come and give him some help once she'd seen the kid. It only took her a couple of hours to get here last time you called her." Sophie gave a half shrug.
"I can ask, but she has that inspection thing. Jets are faster than planes, though, so maybe she can just push it off for a while."
Freya, who had been staring at the unknown sobbing man, looked at Sophie.
"Where did you say she came from?"
"She has a lab in Iowa. The place is booming, and she has to get back for an inspection,"
Sophie told her, rifling around in the small bag Veda had on her shoulder.
"Are you sure?" Freya asked.
"Yeah, why?"
Sophie answered before digging out her phone, which, luckily, was the one we'd brought with us.
Freya looked at Sophie and back at me. "There haven't been any private jet landings on this island in over a month, and a commercial flight would have taken half a day to get here."
Horror chilled my body as Freya and I looked at Sophie, who was completely focused on the call she was making. Freya lunged and tried to grab the phone from her. Sophie, whose shapeshifter reflexes were faster than a normal human's, stepped sideways and held her phone up.
"What the hell, Freya?"
"Hang up the phone, Sophie," I barked at her. "Just hang it up."
"But why?"
Before Sophie could get the explanation she wanted from either of us, the sound of a small chime rang out from the living room of the suite. We all turned towards the bedroom door, just in time to see Sage appear, holding a dart gun aimed right at Sophie.
"Because they figured out that I couldn't have traveled that fast, which meant I was here the whole time."
"Sage, what are you doing here? And why are you aiming a weapon at me? What do you mean you've been here the whole time?"
Sophie was so confused.
"I was hoping you all would have come to the ship last night and chased little Tyler here on board, so I could have just taken care of you then,"
Sage said with a creepy happiness.
"But when I heard you talking about waiting until morning, I knew I'd just have to wait along with you."
"Tyler?"
Veda whispered, looking at the man on the floor. She glared at Sage.
"This is the boy the captain brought on board, isn't it?"
"Oh, I don't give a fuck about how he got on board,"
Sage rolled her eyes and looked at Sophie.
"But I do have to thank you, Sophie."
"Thank me? For what?"
Sophie said, her confusion lifting, leaving her with the gravity of the situation.
"You being a shapeshifter and all.
inspired me to create my monster and make him seem like one," Sage answered, using air quotes. "I think it worked out beautifully. Well, except the part about him bringing the ship into the harbor. He's supposed to stay out at sea."
The coldness and sickening humor in Sage's tone made my blood boil. "How long have you known about this ship, Sage?" I hissed.
"Oh,"
she replied as she swung her dart gun back and forth between aiming it at Sophie and at Freya.
"Most of my life now, I guess. You see, my father let me take flying lessons when I was a teenager. Then, when I proved I was good enough, he'd let me take a small Cessna up by myself. Once we were on vacation in Southern California, and he let me take the plane up. I went out further than I should have, and saw a random ship floating out in the middle of nowhere, and not really moving."
Sophie lowered her head and glared at Sage.
"First of all, I have nothing to do with your shapeshifter fuckery. Second, you are in a damn plane. What could you do about a ship?" "Oh, Sophie," Sage laughed, aiming her weapon at her. "You just don't get how smart I am, do you?"
Veda put her hand on Sophie's arm before she could respond and looked at Sage. "You went back, tracked the currents, predicted where the ship would have continued to drift, and took a helicopter back, didn't you?"
"Ding, ding, ding,"
Sage replied with condescending evil in her voice.
"It took a while for me to find it again, because I had to learn how to fly a helicopter. But my daddy was so impressed with my flying skills already, he let me take the copter up almost the moment I got my license. Let me tell you, I was so happy with myself when I found the ship again. It only took me 3 trips. I'd tell my dad I was going to some seminar and wanted to fly myself to it, and he bought it. I'd book a room on the coast and fly out every day until I found it. That's how it's worked all these years. Well, until I didn't need his helicopter anymore and bought one of my own."
Delaney sniffled, and I saw one single tear rolling down her face.
"Why didn't you help these people? Why were they stuck out here? I found very quickly that these people could help me,"
Sage replied, as though Delaney should have known her answer.
"The ship had been out to sea for about 3 years already. The captain had died from a stroke, and the first mate and some other criminal on board were afraid they were going to get blamed for his death. Real morons, those two. The funny part is, they'd already hijacked the ship for all intents and purposes, and although neither one of them was a cold stone killer when they left port, they sure were by the time I showed up. They would shoot any passenger who acted up to keep themselves from getting caught."
"Too bad they didn't shoot strangers, too," Veda hissed. "Everyone would have been better off with a bullet compared to whatever the hell it is you did to them." Sage threw her head back and let out a cackle.
"Oh, don't give me all the credit. Little Tyler here was really the unknown genius. You see, when I got here, the two dumbasses controlling the boat had made innocent little Tyler their friend when they found out he was really good at chemistry. They had him making drugs to ease their boredom. When I saw what Tyler had created, I knew it was a gold mine. He'd managed to formulate a biological weapon and didn't even know it. Of course, it needed refining, but damn, did I see the potential. You made a scared, stranded kid make drugs for you? Have you lost your fucking mind?"
Sophie yelled, taking a step towards Sage.
"Don't you move now, little puppy,"
Sage snapped nastily, shoving her dart gun in Sophie's direction.
"I am not the one that lost my mind. All the rest of the people on this ship, including Tyler, are the ones who lost their minds. It was so easy. I had a full ship of test subjects, and it inspired me. Plus, Tyler had randomly rambled on about why he was on the ship at all one day. Turns out the kid had a shit childhood, being left alone all the time and locked in small spaces. And normally that would have been really sad, but in his case, it made him a genius. So, remembering how common young trauma is, I chose that to have my test subjects focus on for their neural pathway rewiring.
None of us had anything to say as the horror poured out of Sage's mouth. We'd never dealt with such evil. Not even the direwolf case had that much venom and torture behind it. Sage looked from one to the other of us, waiting for another question so she could continue her sick bragging. When none of us spoke, she went on without prompting.
Well, anyway, once the drug was getting the results I wanted, I knew we were close to not having the need for the ship at all anymore.
Curiosity overtook Freya. How did you keep these people alive without ever docking the ship?
Come on, dummy!
Sage snapped, full-blown crazy in her eyes.
You are a fucking travel agent! I flew the helicopter to wherever the ship was. I even had to get a special gas tank put on it so I could keep them out further. Didn't want my payday being discovered by the Coast Guard. Got a little easier once I got a radar blocking device on board, of course. So I'd bring supplies, and Tyler, who just loved me, would make sure the ship stayed where I told him to. We had to get rid of the two murderers, naturally. They were all about themselves, and we couldn't have that.
Sage's wrist made a dinging sound, and she quickly glanced down at the watch she was wearing.
Oops, time to go. I wanted to take Tyler with me, but it doesn't look like he's any good anymore. That means I simply have to get rid of you lot, and I'll be on my way.
My brain started to race. There was no way I was letting that kind of evil walk out of the room. I glanced quickly at anything within arm's reach, as I had a dozen times already, and there was nothing I could use as a weapon. The best option in the room was a heavy candle holder on the chest of drawers just to the side of where Sage was standing. Having heard her story, I had continually become more worried about what was in the dart gun she was holding. An idea struck, and I cleared my throat loudly, staring directly into Veda's eyes, hoping she would understand what I needed her to do. She blinked a few times, and when I shifted my hands towards the candlestick, she got it. Veda said slowly, trying to think of something to ask Sage to distract her.
Just one more thing. I'm assuming, knowing what I know now, that you pulled the stunt in the hospital on purpose? Do you remember? The one that almost killed that passenger? Why do the passengers get scared to death when they see their reflections? Oh my heavens, Veda, that is the best part. I can't believe I haven't told you yet.
Sage seemed crazy happy that Veda had asked, adding to her darkness if that was even possible.
They all live in their own traumas. Unless they get a certain dose on another drug Tyler concocted for me. We made Tyler a basilisk to instill fear in them initially. It worked beautifully. They were terrified. We also needed to make sure, seeing that we were messing with their brains and all, that they never went up on deck. So we brainwashed them into believing that if they saw themselves, which they wouldn't have to in order to get through the glass doors and such, they would turn into what they feared most on the ship, a basilisk. They scare themselves to death because they think they've become the monster that did all this to them.
While Sage had been rambling on, I'd slowly inched my way towards the candlestick, waiting to get close enough to make my move. I saw my opportunity was about to present itself, when Sophie let out a disgusted snort.
So, they see a too-thin, badly aging, black-haired scientist when they look in the mirror?
Sophie snapped, angrily sarcastic. Sage's entire demeanor switched over to that of an enraged lion in an instant.
What did you just say to me, you mangy mutt?
She didn't wait for Sophie to reply before stepping forward, elevating her dart gun and pulling the trigger. A single shiny silver dart flew from the end of it and jabbed into Sophie's shoulder. But as she fired, I lunged for the candlestick, making one hard and fast motion of grabbing it and swinging it into the side of Sage's head. It hit hard, and she stumbled sideways as Sophie fell to the ground. Freya and Delaney ran to Sophie while Veda and I converged on Sage. Veda yanked the dart gun out of her hand and threw it across the room, while I wrapped my arms around her and shoved her face into the wall. Veda had her hands and legs zip-tied in a matter of seconds as she screamed like an animal being caged. Tyler didn't move or even look up as it was all happening. He just sat there on the floor, crying. Veda and I left Sage screaming and writhing on the floor and ran to Sophie.
How bad is it?
I yelled, kneeling down beside them. Freya was holding Sophie's head, which was rocking back and forth weakly.
I don't know. Who knows what was in that dart?
Veda yanked the dart from Sophie's shoulder and held it up.
I can't be sure, but it's the same color as the compound that Dr. Candela showed me at the hospital. It's probably mixed with whatever is rendering her nearly unconscious. But if it's the same drug, then Sophie has to get an IV immediately.
I scooped Sophie up, and the girl stood up. Delaney, Freya, you get her moving towards the deck. Get her off this ship and to a hospital as fast as you can.
How are we supposed to get her in the boat?
Delaney squealed. We hadn't brought any sort of device to lower her. Sophie grunted as Freya and Delaney took her from me.
Let me shift, she whispered.
What?
Veda asked her to repeat herself.
Let me shift. Throw me in the water,
Sophie said, just before she lost consciousness. I stared at Veda.
Why the hell would we do that?
I could see the thoughts whirring in Veda's mind, and then her eyes lit up.
Because her heart rate will be faster as a dog, which will keep her circulation up. That will give her more time before the drug dehydrates her.
Okay, but we can't just throw her overboard. She'll drown, or she could even break something,
Freya protested.
Better than dead, and you'll be jumping off with her, so she won't drown,
Veda snapped.
Now let's hope she wakes up in the next 10 seconds to shift, or we're going to have to go another route.
As though she heard her cue, Sophie began to stir. The girl set her back on the floor and waited while she shifted. The moment she was fully canine, Delaina and Freya grabbed her and ran as fast as they could go. Sage was still screaming. Veda saw me glare at her, calmly walked over to her, knelt down, and punched her in the face, knocking her out cold.
Damn, I said. Good hit.
Thank you, Veda said, proud of herself.
Now, I hate to do this, but I need to go find Irving. I'm not leaving you alone with these two psychopaths. I'll keep them here, and Irving can help us get them out,
I told Veda. She gave a quick nod and turned towards the door just in time for both of us to see Irving show up.
What the hell happened in here? And why are Delaney and Freya carrying a dog out?
It was the most inappropriate response in the world, but Veda and I both started laughing hysterically. I walked to Irving and put my hand on his shoulder with a hard slap.
Come with us. I've got a story to tell you while we haul these